And I will be your servant today. I am so pleased that you're here today because this is Thanksgiving weekend and a lot of people are traveling or not around. I hope everybody here had a blessed and wonderful Thanksgiving, and praise God if you did. And we are so grateful to you for being here today. It's also the first Sunday in Advent, and I want to thank the worship committee for everything getting prepared for Christmas in here today. You'll see the nativity scene, and you'll see the Christmas tree and the Advent wreath with candles and everything else that's getting ready for Christmas Day. This is the season of Advent, the season of waiting. And it's not the same thing as going shopping. There is a difference. We do that too, yes. But we're waiting for something to happen, and we're trying to wait with expectation about the wonderful thing that God is doing that we celebrate on the day of Jesus' birth. And we celebrate that on December 25th. Let's now greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Thank you, George. That was beautiful. Good morning, Calvary. Oh, yes. Can we get a little more livelier than that? Good morning, Calvary. Yes, yes. Thank you, class. What a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord on this first Sunday in Advent. Praise God for that. I would like to welcome everyone here this morning, and if you are a guest with us, we really welcome you and hope that you will come back and join us. Everyone, please just take a look inside your inserts. There's a lot going on this Advent season. We have adult Christmas party. We have an open house at the parsonage. We have the children's program. Please make a look at your dates for the cantata. That'll be one service. And then on Christmas Day, that'll be one service and no Sunday school. So make sure you read this, take it home, put it on your refrigerator so you can keep up with what's going on. I also would like to highlight the Advent Bible studies that are going on, and everything you need to know is right here. So please take a look at that. And do we have any other announcements that need to be hit upon? We have a special guest this morning on our drums. I'm so excited. Okay, well then, if we have no further announcements, let us, turn the lights on? Up. The lights, the little switch there that makes them brighter. There you go. There, now we have light. Okay, so this morning, the lighting of the Advent candle on the back of your bulletins. In the days to come, the Lord shall establish God's house upon earth.
Watch, wait, for God will do something special, something very unexpected.
Do not be hesitant. Place your trust in God's promise.
Today we light this first candle, a special candle, lighted in the darkness, shedding its meager light into our world.
Come, see the light. Let its brightness fill you.
Come, feel the warmth of the light. Let it give you comfort.
Come, draw near to the light, for it is God's way of breaking through to you.
If you would stand and look through the screen behind me, we'll sing Some May Ask the Question.
Thank you.
If you would turn to 883 in your hymnals, we'll have our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, a Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church. We celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Show me something? What have you got in your pocket? Oh, you have some money in your pocket. AJ got it? Oh, okay. Well, it looks like you have it now. Now, I have something that I want to show you, and I need you to tell me what it is and what it means. Okay? What does it mean? What is it? That's a good, yeah. A baby cake, yeah, and they put the candle on it, and that's how we celebrate birthdays. Now, what if that same baby that you're talking about, Zachary, had this on the candle? What is that? But it's the same child. It's the same child. So what does this mean? They got older. Time passed. A year went by. The first year they have this. The second year they have this. That's one of the ways that we mark time. On our birthdays, we talk about being another year older, and we put those candles on our birthday cake to celebrate that the time has gone by. And that's one way we celebrate Christmas. It's through the Advent candles. Miss Robin lit one candle, and there are four candles on the outside, and that means that there are four Sundays before Christmas gets here. We're counting down, and next week, how many candles will we light? Two. That's right. And in the week after that, we light three, and it's getting closer and closer to Christmas. And what happens on Christmas? What, Zachary? We light the big white one. True, but what does that big white one represent, John? That Jesus was born. That's right. Did you want to tell me something about Jesus? Okay, what, sweetheart? Yeah? Okay. Well, we're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday before too long, and it's been a long, long time since his birthday, but every year we remember that God sent his Son to be with us, and we're going to count down until he comes. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. May we prepare our hearts in the coming weeks for the gift of the Christ child. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I give you the candy, I do have to remind you of the candy rule. What's the candy rule?
What is
it? Yes. Not shove each other. That's a good thing. Just one piece. And maybe a nice thing to do would be say thank you. One piece of candy, my friends. All right, here you go. Continue to serve and worship God with the giving of our gifts. Well, I invite the ushers to please come forward as we prepare to take the morning offering. Let us pray. Precious Lord, there is one gift that rises above all others, and we prepare our lives and our hearts to accept the Christ child, the gift of your Son. And use us, dear God, as we seek to be your people, called to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing. Been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked the floor. I used to live here long before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch, and love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken. Hallelujah. Best, but it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth, I didn't come to fool ya. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah.
Thompson, Andy Haney, and Jacob sitting behind the drums.
And Judy Schuster.
Thank you very much. Wasn't that a Leonard Cohen song? Okay, I thought so. Most of you are probably aware that we found out between worship services, between the first service and the second service, that Marlene Stone passed away. So we are remembering Lloyd especially and Rhonda Barlow as well and the rest of their family as we go to God in prayer this morning. I want to mention Mary Dixon, who is home recovering from back surgery. And Jean Story had her surgery this week, and she is home recovering from that surgery with no results yet in from the biopsies. But we continue to be in prayer for her today. Let's go to God in prayer, and will you just take a moment to quiet your mind and thoughts and take a couple of deep breaths. And quietly listen for God's voice. And when you feel led to do so, lift up the name of someone or a place in the world or a situation in life that needs to have God's healing touch. Especially today. Let us be in prayer. All these are, Lord, and many, many more. Those we know, those we don't know. Those that look happy on the outside but are hurting and crushed on the inside. We pray today, dear God, that you will shine your light upon them. That you will enfold your warm arms around them. And that you will let each and every one know how special they are in your sight. That your love for them is so great. And that your love this morning is so great it includes even us. The times we deserve it and the times that we don't. That's the gift you gave us. And that's what we wait upon, is to see that Christ child again. Help us to look at the world and see the face of Christ in others. Instead of a different political party or instead of a different race, instead, dear God, we are all one in you. And help us, dear God, to be the kind of people that live up to your prayer of bringing heaven on earth. Because it is the dearest prayer of our hearts this morning. The prayer that you taught us when we say this morning, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to 211, we'll sing, O Come, Emmanuel.
First scripture this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. You can follow along on the screen behind me. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They have beat their swords unto plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Our next scripture is found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Don't have it? That's okay. They have pew Bibles. It's found in your pew Bible in the back on page 33. Yes, they also have ears to hear. Thank you, Pastor. Yes. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night that the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. These are the words for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.
The gospel lesson says, but about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So that makes me want to say, what day? When is that day? And what's going to happen on that day? Several years ago, I read about an incident that happened in World War II when a company of men, soldiers, spent the night in an abandoned village in Germany. The squad had bedded down in a large two-story house, and the officer appointed guards at the front and in the back doorway. Well, about 3 a.m., the guard at the front door walked to the back, away from his post, to get a light for his cigarette. And just as he reached the kitchen, a shell exploded in the doorway where he had just been standing. 5 seconds before. Only 5 seconds between life and death. So truth be told, the question we face is not when will Jesus come back. The question is, how does the fact that none of us lives forever change our behavior? The scriptures remind us they remind us that one day God shall, as Isaiah put it, judge between nations and shall arbitrate for many people. We also hear in the Apostle Paul that now is the moment for us to wake from sleep, to put on the armor of light, and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus reminds us that about that day and hour no one knows. So we must, in the meantime, keep awake, because you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. The Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. So on this first Sunday of Advent, we look to Jesus' coming again. And we're called upon to take God and ourselves seriously. Even though it's been 2,000 years since the first time Jesus came. We are called to recognize that life can be snuffed out in an instant, and we must live accordingly. Lives matter. Our life matters. We are to stay awake, to watch out for signs of God's activity in the world. And that's sometimes a difficult thing to do in our modern world. After 2,000 years, we've sort of stopped looking for Christ to come. We've settled on just kind of a pale imitation when we prepare for Christmas. We schedule office parties, and we celebrate family dinners, and we buy presents for our spouses and our children and other significant others. We decorate our homes, which is what I'm going to try and do this afternoon. And we send out greeting cards to everyone and hope that our sanity and our bank account last through New Year's. But the church's plea during Advent is different from the world. The church's plea during Advent is not that we will say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. It's that in the midst of this hoopla, this craziness that we call the Christmas season, that we will look for Christ, to seek signs of his coming, to be alert for his presence in the midst of all the giving and receiving of gifts, the decorating and the partying, which we call Christmas. In the midst of our modern world, it's hard to find signs of life in an old faith, but that's exactly what we need to do. Sometimes, maybe we're quiet this time of year. Sometimes we feel like we're overwhelmed with the world's idea of Christmas because it feels like God is either dead or sleeping. And this is not new. This is not a new problem. The prophet Isaiah preached for 40 years to a people who largely ignored him. He preached during a time that was not unlike the kind of time we live in. He preached during a world full of war, economic uncertainty, and political upheaval. He balanced his prophecies of destruction with promises of hope, but the people ignored him because the promises of hope were so few and far between, and they didn't see it. So even though Isaiah predicted it, it was hard for them to see the presence of the Lord. Now, there are those of us remaining, a remnant, if you will, in the church, who have held on to this vision of a hopeful future. A future in which no children starve or are victim to curable diseases. A future in which people lay aside their differences to worship a common God at a common altar. Some of us still hope for that day. A future in which peace reigns and schools and hospitals are fully funded. And I think that's what that means when Isaiah talks about beating their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. But we wait. That day has not arrived, and we wait and we struggle in the meantime to stay awake, to stay focused, to really hope and believe that God is coming again. We continue to look for signs that God is just around the corner, and we just haven't quite perceived it yet. But I would also like to suggest that instead of looking for signs of Christ's coming, our invitation today is to be a sign of Christ's coming in our families, in our communities, in our nation, in our world. I am inviting us today to a season of active waiting, of participatory readiness. As we enter the season of Advent, I invite each of us not only to see the signs, but to be the signs. And I want to suggest to you 5 things you can do during this Advent season to be a sign of Christ's presence. 1, I want you to take 5 minutes in the morning to make a Christmas list. And I don't mean presents and gifts. Not a list of things to buy, but a list of blessings in your life. A list of those people you love and who love you, and sometimes love you in spite of yourself. A list of the signs of God's presence in your life. And after you've made your list, pray a prayer of thanks for each thing on the list. 2, and this takes maybe another 10 minutes, read 1 chapter in the book of Matthew a day. There are 28 chapters in Matthew, and there are like 29 days left until Christmas. You can read the whole book of Matthew during Advent. By Christmas morning, you will be reminded of why Jesus came and of what he did for us. By Christmas morning, we will be ready to celebrate with thankfulness and praise the coming of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. So that's 2. Read a chapter a day in Matthew. And then I want you to pick 5 names out of our directory, out of our membership list, people that you haven't seen in a while or that we've lost touch with or that you've been wondering where they are, and call them or write them. Send them a note. And tell them how much they mean to you. And thank them for being a sign of God's presence in the world. So 5 people, 5 names to contact. We can help you with that if you don't have a directory. The first one was to make a list of what your blessings were, what you're thankful for. The people who love you and who you love. Fourth, perform a new act of charity. Now, this is the time of year when we do that kind of thing. If you haven't already done so, find something worth your while to give to. Reach out. Surprise someone with the unexpected love of God and give a part of yourself to someone in gratitude for the fact of what Christ gave himself for us. That's 4. And finally, spend the last 5 minutes of every day asking God to come into our lives in a new way, in a fresh way this season. But I have to warn you to be careful, to watch out, because God just might explode into our life at a time when we would never expect it. And it will be transformative, as the birth of our Savior transforms us. God is still coming in new and unexpected ways, and we must be grateful. Amen and amen.
If you would stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing "There's Something About That Name." The rail will be open. If you feel like it, come on down.
To contact people is to update our records. We're in the process of trying to make sure that we have all your information. And if you haven't done so already, the membership secretary and other volunteers would like you to update your information by going into the kitchen. And there will be a place there for you to fill out any changes that we need to make on that directory, and we will have an updated list. But I do hope that in this season of Advent, the busyness and the craziness of the world's Christmas is not the one that you focus on, that the one that's near to you is the one that Jesus came into the world to save sinners and came for you and came for me and lived among us as one of us and knows our deepest fears, knows our deepest concerns, and we are never far from the presence of God. And I think you might need to try a little bit extra during this time of year because of the season of Christmas, but I know you will find God. I know you will see God because God is seeking after you. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you as you leave, go in His peace. Amen.